Hi, Stephanie. Now you should say something.
Hi, Tig.
This is Don't Ask Tig. I'm starting over.
Making you nervous?
This is Don't Ask Tig. I'm Tig Notaro, and you apparently still have questions for me. This is a very, very, very special episode because today I'm getting help from my spouse. Stephanie Allen is here.
Hi.
Stephanie, you're here.
Here I am.
In our house.
Where I always am.
Yeah. But, you know, I have to say, to add to you saying where you always are, that's kind of an issue in our house.
That I'm always here?
Well, no, that I'm always here. And right. You forget that I'm here.
You surprise me.
Yeah. No matter what's going on, no matter how long ago you saw me in the house, no matter if I'm in the room next to you, if I just leave your room that you're occupying for 1 second, as soon as I return.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Just...
Well, you're a very slow, quiet mover.
I'm a smooth shuffler.
Yeah. And I don't hear you. There's not a lot of things moving around when you're coming in.
I try.
You're not humming. You're not singing. You're not tapping.
Well, I don't have a good voice. And now I start trying to announce that I've entered the room by saying, yellow. And still. I know. And what do I say every time?
I live here.
That's what's going on in our house day in.
God, now that we're home every day.
Day out.
Our new routine.
And I do.
And I can't believe it really scares
me. Please don't
me.
Cut me off on my own podcast. This is a public radio podcast. What? I'm
edit,
sorry, what did you
can
say?
Put some pauses in.
I think I need less pauses.
No, you should slow down.
I know. I need to really take it down a notch. Anyway, thanks for joining me in my office. This is what goes on.
I'm not
in
here very often.
No.
Stephanie
thinks that my office looks like the kind of office you end up at when you get rear-ended.
Yes.
And you want to maybe sue somebody.
You meet that person who has that office and you're like, oh,
in
okay.
Wichita, Kansas. Yeah. Uh-huh. You get rear-ended in Wichita, Kansas, and you end up in my...
You like walk through a warehouse and their office is in the back and you find your way in.
Yes, that is what my office looks like.
That you've designed.
I think it looks incredible.
I love that you love it.
Everything on the wall is special to me.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of special things, as many people know, Edie Brickell does the music. The original music for this podcast, and she sent me a hand-drawn card, and I will read it, and please, this will take a minute, but bear with me, it's worth it. Dear Tig, thank you. Love, Edie.
You guys have really connected.
Yes, but this is special to me, so what does it do? It sits on my Van Halen coaster. Now... That's not what we're here to talk about, okay? Again, a very special episode. Do you think that, this is an advice podcast. Do you feel like one of us is better at giving advice?
I think we give the same advice.
We're very similar. And that might sound boring to people. We're similar in a way that we elevate each other to our highest greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. You kind of don't let anything slide.
Me?
No, both of us, like in terms of advice or something.
See, I just didn't let that slide.
The advice I give, I think, is the same advice you give, which is typically to kind of do exactly what you feel is right. So you kind of, it's almost like you're not giving advice, but you're helping people to kind of talk through, well, how do you feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to get to that place.
And then if you can like tap into, oh, you feel this way, well, then you should act on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think we kind of do that the same way.
Do you feel like we ever got advice about our relationship that was helpful or unhelpful?
You know, I remember a friend of ours I was talking to, and I was talking about kids. We were talking about having kids.
Was I there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you were there for this.
I probably walked in and scared you.
And then ran away.
Yeah.
And this was so early on. So obviously I was at a point where I didn't feel like I was anywhere near kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she said,
meanwhile, I was planning retirement and my funeral, but go ahead.
Yeah. She was like, there's never a good time to have kids. You just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just loving that so much. Like, yeah, that you're never ready, or it's never going to be perfect. Then you kind of just have to do it.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so many things where it's not a good time for it.
Everything would be delayed.
Yeah.
Years would just keep going by.
Yeah. You just got to get on with it.
And accept that this is life, that you're bringing life in.
Mm-hmm.
And embrace it. Then you don't feel like your life's waiting for you.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm all about
just getting in there.
When I say all about jumping in, I don't feel like I've been that way romantically until you.
Mm-hmm.
You were definitely somebody where I thought, oh, I've really met my match.
In slowness?
But then the funny part of you, you know, suggesting that we move in, but I... only 6 months in, and I was very much... there was no hesitation. I was just like, yeah, what... yeah, let's get on with it.
Yeah.
And we are. We're going into year 8. And in that time, so much I've learned about relationships and myself and
yeah,
you.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's crazy.
It's insanity. It's pure insanity. Okay. So Stephanie, we here at don'taskTig.org specifically put out a call for people who wanted the two of us to field their questions. So let's see what we have. Monique writes, I have been in a relationship with a wonderful man for 3 years. He has been a comedian his whole life, and most of his friends are comedians. This is a big part of his life. He has a good day job, so that's not the issue. I love comedy. He makes me laugh, and I make him laugh all the time. The problem is that when he is on stage, he's not funny. I mean, so not funny. It's painful
to
watch
him. Which is so funny.
I know. Do I just lie when he asks me if I thought it was funny? Do you think perhaps this relationship is doomed?
That is so tricky. I think the really good sign is that she said that they laugh, like, outside of him on stage.
Yeah.
That they make each other laugh.
Uh-huh.
That's nice. That it's not, like, within the relationship there's a humor gap.
Right.
So I would say, okay, maybe there's some hope, but that's very hard, and I've been there.
With me?
With people. I've dated people I've had that feeling about, and I find it very... it's just very hard. It's just, they just become very unattractive, frankly.
Yes. Yes.
But it also, you know what? It depends on...
what, Stephanie?
It depends on what they're doing up there that's not funny.
Uh-huh.
Like, if they're maybe, like, shy, or maybe they're just not... they're not as, like, outgoing, or mm-hmm. their jokes are a little not with the rhythm, then I think they can, their personalities can stay intact a little bit. But if they're like the loudest one on stage and it's like goofy,
uh-huh.
and they're confident, then I
think loud, confident,
goofy, silly, I remember when I first started taking comedy classes, improv classes.
I was going to say, you took comedy classes?
Yeah, I tried to be a clown.
Sitting front row with your glasses on, with your notebook out.
I'm listening.
Okay, funny.
Juggle. Well, that's a funny word.
Okay.
Improv classes when I was really young. And
you're still very young, but go ahead.
Well, you know, really young. And I remember thinking like there were really cute guys in the class, and then they would, this is when I thought I was straight, and then they would get on stage and be so
terrible,
goofy, where they're like really going for it. And it was like their entire personality disappeared out of their body. And it was like,
so did the breath in your body watching that, I bet.
Yeah. Just,
God.
Yeah. Oh. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Why even go to the gym?
Yeah. It's tough when somebody is not funny or they're pushing too hard to be funny. But I do agree that the offstage connection, which is the majority of your time, I'm assuming, is really important. And I have to say, Stephanie and I, for sure, no matter if we're having rough spots in our relationship or if we're having an argument or we are in just utter bliss and the greatest vacation or lounging around at home, every day we have tearful belly laughs together. Yeah. And I think it's so, so important to have that funny connection with your partner or spouse or whoever you're with.
I think that's so interesting that you think somebody's very funny in life. And then on stage, something's happening.
Well, somebody probably...
She should talk to him about
it. But here's the thing. I wouldn't give up on the relationship because it sounds like this person probably isn't... They haven't found their thing. So it's probably not going to be a lifetime...
But if he really loves it and it's his friends and he's doing it at night...
Right. I want to know, how old is this guy? How long has he been doing it? How successful is he? Because after a while, comedy starts to let you know that comedy shows you to the door.
But if it's a hobby and she's just like going to shows and she's like, what am I supposed to do? Be like, you were so...
Okay, here's what you do. And I've done this with comedians, and I can't believe I'm going to announce this publicly because
I know
now
what you're going to say.
I know. With comedians and musicians... When a band gets off stage that is not my thing, I say, man, you were up there rocking so hard. It sounds like a compliment. So with comedy, maybe you could, you know, when Mr. Unfunny Pants gets off stage, just say, oh my gosh, the crowd... loved you, you know, or something that. You can take yourself out of the equation.
Or you really go, hey, listen, I mean, I think you are so funny in life and something's happening from life to the stage. And I think you should try to get in, like connect with that piece of you that's funny in real life and bring it to the stage. Mm-hmm. And you might have some more success.
Okay, well,
that's why sports are so great, because it's like if you strike out, nobody's like, was I bad? It's like, yeah, you struck out. It's so hard when it's subjective.
Right. But I would stick with him. It sounds like he doesn't have a career in this, and he will be...
Well, doesn't want one. She said she has a day
job. Yeah, he has a great day job. He's terrible at comedy. He's funny off stage. Stick with him. This is a phase. He'll be done. And then you guys will be cackling on your porch swing in your old age. All right. We'll be right back after the break.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
I just feel like we are surrounded in this world by bullshit.
So how can you know what's real and what's not? Science versus, that's how. We answer questions like, does anti-aging skincare actually work? And what is your true personality type? And to answer these questions, we don't use opinions. We dive into the scientific studies, talk to the experts, and put it in a podcast that I know you are gonna love. Listen to Science versus on Spotify.
Okay, we're back with a question about an ever popular topic, love.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's
Ooh,
popular.
La la.
It's popular. Stacy writes, how did you know your wife was the one? I'll let you go first.
You know, it's interesting because I don't know if there was a moment where I actually was like, oh, she's the one.
Uh-huh.
I think there were many moments of meeting you where you just really, you just had my attention. Like when we were shooting the movie In a World, and I remember there's this moment where Tig had a little box of cereal. And
at the craft service.
At craft services where they have the food on set.
Yeah.
And Tig was eating Trix out of the box just with her hands. And then I saw her look into the bottom of it and then tip her head back and tap the box and finish it off.
Violently tap Violently. The bottom of the box to get all the... And that was the moment you thought...
I was like, well, I found her.
Well, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with that person.
But yeah, you just very... I was like, well, look at that person just over there.
Yeah, I think for myself, it was just more and more and better and happier and nobody excited me in that way. I mean, certainly there's people that are really interesting and people that are really funny and really talented and really attractive. But when it came down to spending time with you and how I just felt challenged and interested, and I really, really had not felt that way.
It was
before.
Very easy.
Yeah.
And I don't think either one of us were coming to it with that sort of vocabulary of, are you the one?
Mm-mm.
Are you my soulmate?
I wasn't looking for the
I
one.
I wasn't either.
Ever. I was not.
Yeah.
I didn't have faith in myself in that area of life. But then when you and I got together and it just locked in, and it really was and still is that feeling of, everything good and bad that is to come, I'm up for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a foot out.
Right, right.
All right. Thanks for the question, Stacy. And I hope that you find your one, or maybe you've found your one, or maybe you found your two or three. I don't know what you're up to, Stacy. I just hope you're happy. For the next question, Stephanie, we have what I call, and as you know, because you listen to this show, a corona conundrum.
Are you at all concerned about the coronavirus?
No, not really.
We know that mandatory masking works.
You literally cannot mandate somebody to wear a mask.
You must not leave the house for any reason. Unless, of course, you have a reason, and then you may leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ready for this?
Yeah.
David writes, how are you and your wife handling screen time for your kids right now? My partner and I are having a hard time working from home with young children to care for. We're feeling like shit parents, shit spouses, and shit employees. Oh my gosh. Sesame Street helps, but so does Paw Patrol and Storybots and Daniel Tiger. We're finding we're allowing more and more screen time with each passing week, and we feel terrible about it. but also find it's helping us in other areas. Any tips? Well, I'll walk you through our schedule, and it works for us and our children. They're both 4 years old. And what we do, we get up as a family, and that's when coffee and breakfast and music, we listen to music every morning. It's a really nice way to start the day, just listening to music, no screen time. And then Stephanie takes anywhere from 4 to 6 hours to herself, goes into
I would say it's usually about 4.5.
Right, but some days it goes, yeah, we're going to get in a big fight here on the podcast, but it goes anywhere from 4 to 6 hours for each of us.
Yeah.
That's a time to just work, do mindless activities, read, do Zooms, whatever, and then she tags back in and I tag out, and then I'll do my 4 to 6 hours. But they do watch TV pretty much every day, I would say, from about 3 o'clock until bedtime. We go upstairs around 7. Yeah, I would say on average 3 to 4 hours they're watching of TV. I know that's way beyond a lot of people's comfort level with screen time.
And I think it's just finding the moments because, you know, sometimes I won't have very much work to do. And if we watch a show, it's so fun to sit with them and watch it with them.
They love when we sit and watch a show
so
with them.
It's so fun. And like, you know, have that time where you do it together and you talk about the show and kind of get into it with them and hear what they love about it. I don't like the whole screen. Personally, the limits on screen time and how long, I just think it's, who gives a shit? And not that they should be on it all day, but yeah. I know it's terrible at like at a certain point.
Yeah.
But I also feel like people are like, they have so much guilt around it. I don't know. It's a pandemic.
No, I live here. good luck, David. Parenting in a plague is new for all of us. Am I right?
It's new for me. Yeah.
Yeah. We've never done this. Nobody listening is alive from the
Spanish flu,
you know. Nobody's like, oh, let me tell you.
How long can I play with my stick and wheel? I have a lot of work to do. How much stick and wheel time are you allowing for Mildred?
Did you say Mildred?
Yeah.
Well, not only is that my grandmother's name, but that's who wrote the next question.
Really?
Yes.
So we do have someone from the Spanish flu.
Yes. Mildred made it out. She made it out alive. If I'm completely honest, I named this person Mildred after my grandmother.
Okay. Oh, you do hidden names.
Well, we had to hide the other name for reasons I don't need to go into. But Mildred writes, how old is too old to date? And what is the point if I know I never want to live with someone? That's a terrible impression of my grandmother, Mildred. I'm sure the person that wrote in, whose name is not Mildred, sounds nothing like what I just did. But I'm not known for my characters.
But you're good at them.
I am good at them. But how old is too old to date?
No, there's no age, right?
Okay, end of show. All right, Mildred, I hope that helps. Yeah, why would it be too late?
And you can have so many meaningful relationships at any age.
Absolutely.
And human connection that it feels like age is so the old sort of ways of what you should be at a certain age or what you should have accomplished or where you should be is so dated.
And can I remind everyone that the woman that starred in the Where's the Beef commercials did not hit the big time until she was that age, whatever age that was.
She didn't hit the beef.
She didn't hit the beef till that age.
The big time.
But I mean, I'm sure she was making cash.
Yeah.
You think she went out dating after she, you know, was a big beef star? But I mean, really, nobody ever saw her face before Where's the Beef?
Yeah.
Never saw it again afterwards.
I can't say I can picture her, but...
Well, she was elderly.
Okay.
And I'm saying you might get the acting role that makes you bank, Mildred. Seriously, get and out there.
But to connect with somebody too later in life is so... I think you think of dating as this young thing, and it's like, well, imagine... You've been through so much and you've gone through so much and you know so much and you've changed in so many ways that imagine meeting someone who has also gone through those types of things and sharing that with each other. When you're young, you don't get to have that in dating.
Can I ask, are you bored? You were literally twiddling your thumbs while you were saying all of that. You were... Literally.
No, I wasn't going like this.
No, you were doing this. You were twiddling your thumbs. And I thought, is she bored of me or is she bored of herself or does she twiddle her thumbs and I've never noticed?
No, I think I was going
like this. No, Stephanie, I watched it and I am telling you, you were twiddling your thumbs.
Well, I guess I'm bored.
Oh, well, good. Well, that was the final question. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mildred. Get out there, book a commercial, find a date. Anyway, next up, we got more questions than Stephanie and I could ever possibly answer in one episode. There were so many questions that came in. So we're going to speed through all the unimportant ones and find out whether or not we agree. This should be interesting. Here we go with quick questions. Can I ask you a quick question? I have a quick question.
Quick question.
Question. Just ask the quick question. Ronnie writes, I'm underappreciated at my job. Should I stay or quit?
Quit.
Stay.
Stay forever.
Stay forever.
Don't change anything.
Yeah. Date Mildred.
Underappreciated at your job.
This is quick questions. Why are you lingering on it?
I'm just making sure. I mean, quit if you're underappreciated, right?
Yeah, talk to somebody or quit. Lucy writes, my girlfriend and I don't have any friends who are also gay women. Do we need to find some? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Yes. It's like, that's why billionaires hang out with billionaires. You need to connect with your billionaire friends. You need to connect with your gay friends.
There's a lens that I think you need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Babs writes, and for sure this is Barbara Streisand. No.
Constantly writing in.
Yeah. All right, Babs. Barbara Streisand asks, my cousin is having a wedding with no COVID safety measures in place. My mom wants to go, but I want to slash her tires to prevent that. Do I let her go or do I sabotage her?
Both things are unsafe.
Yeah, slashing tires.
Slashing tires is not safe going to the wedding.
Can you picture Barbra Streisand slashing tires?
No. I can't picture her with a knife. Anyways.
That's not what Babs wants to know.
I mean, you can't stop her, right?
You can't.
That's unfortunate.
Well, and here's the thing. If your mother wants to go... Even if the wedding doesn't have safety measures in place, really encourage, not just encourage, but maybe get your mother a face mask that's really safe. Maybe get her some gloves and some hand sanitizer and know that you did what you could.
Yeah.
And send her on her way. Here's the next question. Sam writes, my coworker has halitosis. Should I tell him or no?
I think you don't tell them, but you talk about it in front of them.
How bad their breath is?
No, like you're like, oh, like a friend, like maybe by yourself or a friend or something. You just talk about bad breath somehow, casually.
All the time. Here's what you do.
You bring it up casually.
No, Sam, here's what you do. You eat a bunch of garlic, a bunch of onions every day. And you go head to head with your coworker. Okay. You force your coworker into saying, Sam, you have stanky breath. Then you say, yeah, so do you. problem solved.
Yeah, I think you start bringing in mints and then you like put mouthwash.
They're
going to
think you want to kiss. You want to like.
Oh.
I mean, that's how I started dating you. I started bringing mints.
It's like, well, well, well.
This is supposed to be quick questions. I say, don't tell them, put a safety pin on your nose and eat a bunch of garlic and onion and give them a taste of their own stink. All right. Becky writes, I find that men don't get out of my way when I walk down the street. Should I keep moving out of the way or start bumping into them? Beckers, come on. You cannot, first of all, it's a pandemic. You don't want to touch anyone. Yes?
Right. But I think you maintain eye contact.
You can also say, scram, clown. Right?
Right.
That's my go-to. If somebody's acting weird, I take it up a notch and out weird and just say, scram, clown. Problem solved. Pam asks, my coworker often mispronounces words. It's maddening. Should I correct her or let it go?
Let it go.
Let it go.
You're a corrector.
I think it's funny.
Yeah.
When people mispronounce words. But I think it's more so when people stumble on a word. But yeah, let it go. Well, that was quick questions.
Oh.
Yeah. That's
quick.
Done. Stephanie. The show's finished. That's
okay,
it. We can go to bed now.
Night.
Do you have anything you want to promote?
I'm unemployed.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry to hear that.
Can't meant to tell
you.
Do you
need to borrow money?
I'm in a pandemic. I mean, maybe my improv group, Wild Horses, will perform again on Zoom.
We're in a documentary together.
We're on, yep.
TIG on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the L Word.
I'm on the L Word, Generation Q on Showtime.
We're in a world.
We're in a world.
Yep.
Where we met.
Mm-hmm. A lot to promote. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
In my office.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. My Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
Rear-ended office. And thank everybody for listening. And you can send in any questions at don'tasktig.org. You know, maybe we'll answer it on a future episode. You can write down your question or you can send it to us as a voice memo. Again, that's don'tasktig.org to reach us with your questions. All right, Stephanie, well, ready to hit the hay?
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
I love you.
Good night.
Good night. Also, I highly recommend you check out my new podcast, Tig and Cheryl True Story. It's me and my friend Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm discussing documentaries and having some pretty solid laughs. And if you'd like to catch me live in the comfort of your own living room, my old podcast, Professor Blastoff, is reuniting and putting on a streaming show October 6th. Tickets are available on Eventbrite. Check my social media for more information. It'll be a hoot. I wish that I could give you the answers. I wish that I could make you believe. I wish that I could put you on your path and set you free. That's what your heart. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to rate and review us. Don't Ask Tig is hosted by me, Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, Mary Knopf, and Tracy Mumford. Our editor is Phyllis Fletcher, executive producer Lauren D. Engineering and sound mixing by Eric Romani. Digital production by Christina Lopez. Talent booking by Rocky Benlulu Dubin. Our theme music is Friend and Tig by Edie Burkell and Kyle Crusham. And Listen to Your Heart by Edie Burkell. Special thanks to Hunter Seidman, Lily Kim, and Alex Schaffert. Our executive consultant is Dean Capello and Gobsmack Studios. Don't Ask Tig is a production of American Public Media. And of course, thank you, Dana, and I'll tell Becky.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.